Okay, namaste. Am I audible? Okay. Jai Ma. So today is a very special day. We have today is the day when Sri Aurobindo gave the famous Uttar Pada speech. It is also the day that is 30th May. It is also the day when when the service tree was planted in the ashram courtyard. And today is also the once in a blue moon day, today and tomorrow. So it is the perfect day for to speak on Mahalakshmi, because Mahalakshmi is best represented with the full moon. She is fullness. She represents fullness. And this is not just a fullness where things are just put together. They are in perfect harmony with each other. So she represents the fullness of creation, and therefore Mahalakshmi. Today is Mahalakshmi's day. And Sri Aurobindo also, actually, when he speaks of the Uttar Pada speech, he gives us the secret of harmony. It's very interesting, because if we look at the different idea forces that are governing the world today, so if there is one idea force that can really harmonize everything, which is all inclusive, all harmonizing, and it can help mankind in its collective march towards the great realization, it is Sanatan Dharma. So if you really look at this special day when we are speaking about Mahalakshmi, I feel it's truly her blessing that we are speaking on such a wonderful power of the Divine Mother. So just to have a little background for our human understanding. So the divine, within divine, there is the star of creation, which is the Divine Mother. She is the one who builds the star. And if we take a human image just to understand that, the two come together and she wants a wonderful house. She wants the whole world to be filled with, children and beauty in various forms. So that's how it starts. That's why the mother says, truth is supreme harmony and delight. So actually it is right at the beginning. This is the whole purpose. The purpose of creation is delight. And frankly, there is nothing else which gives ultimate delight except harmony. So this is the origin. And then the first step is that Maheshwari comes in, and Maheshwari lays down the large lines. So she is the one who decides where the two who are one are going to in this creation, how it should be. So she lays down the large lines. It's like the chief architect who builds the map on paper. So she does the blueprint. But doing on blueprint and on ground, there is a big difference, because on the ground things are not stable. They may be ground may not be leveled. There may be all kinds of forces which are on the ground. You need really, really a very strong force, intense force, which is going to clear the whole path. And that we see Mahakali comes. She clears the whole path. So she makes the ground clear. It makes it ready. She makes it ready. Even to an extent, lays the foundation, because foundations must be also very strong for the building to come up. Now, after this basic design has been done, comes the work of Mahalakshmi. Now, Mahalakshmi has to see that, well, everything is in its right place. Where should be the kitchen? Where should be the drawing room? And how to build it? It should breathe beauty. It should breathe harmony. So this is the third work which the Divine Mother undertakes, the work of Mahalakshmi, where beauty and harmony. Nowadays we are using words like eco-friendly and sustainable. All these are terms which are in a way invoking Mahalakshmi in our material creations. And then finally comes Mahasaraswati, who fills in the details, that little vase, where the vase should be, what should be the size of the utensils, and what should be the design carved. So she does that. So actually, if we really look at life, we will see all the time these four powers at work. Even at the cosmic level, we will see them working. Look at the stars, prayed sky. Now, the way they are all knit together in such a perfect harmony and balance, that even in a jungle, if we go to a forest, It is very amazing. People say that forest is full of, you know, wild creatures. I am sure we all have gone. I have gone to Masai Mara. And it's so strange that you don't get the feeling that of fear or anything like that. There is so much wildness, but there is some kind of a harmony which is all around felt in the forest. Except all this goes on very well, except when man comes. But that's a different story. Not man as he was in his origins, but man as he has become today. So one of the biggest problems of our life, if we take the Divine Mother's aspect of Mahalakshmi as the power of harmony, then one of the biggest problems of today's life is, as Sri Aurobindo says, all problems of existence are essentially, fundamentally problems of harmony. And he gives us another clue for this harmony, which is about, it starts with discord. That gives the heart so much hope. So wherever we see a strong discord, it means there is a hope of harmony. The divine has started the discord. Discord is almost like two people saying, let's start speaking. So when they speak, there is conflict, there is demands, there is desire, there is me and you. But if one persists over a period of time, harmony begins to develop. So this is the basic. So that way, this is the most important aspect today, Mahalakshmi. And of course, this is the age of Mahasaraswati, where no details can be missed out. Sometimes people wonder that why it is taking so long, even though the new Satyug has come, why it is taking long? Because we should not forget it, the age of Mahasaraswati. You cannot leave anything outside the scope of the perfection. It is a perfect perfection. But that's for later. Right now, it is Mahalakshmi. We are trying to build bridges, trying to create harmony. And in this harmony, beauty plays a very important role. So we see the worship of Mahalakshmi is the worship of beauty and harmony. And I can take a very simple example. Everyday life. So there are cultures, I take this straightaway example that, see, it is very difficult to fight verbally if you keep the language in its purity, any language. So, you know, if you keep Sanskrit in its purity, if you keep, English or Urdu even, you know, you keep it in its purity, it's very difficult to fight. But as the tone, the voice and the sound and the words become more and more crude, harmony tends to be disturbed. So harmony, one of the very important aspects of harmony is speech. And another aspect is in our own inner being. Harmony has such an important role. In fact, all illness is a disturbance, it's a disharmony. And how we have created disharmony and disconnect even with the medications that we are using, it's a big subject. So I'll not go into all these wonderful territories of disharmony, because disharmony is the key problem actually. So if you really look at the real problem today at the international level, at the national level, at the level of the individual body, we'll see the problem is of disharmony. So very often we are suggested that we are given this idea that, well, if you want to correct the imbalance and to create harmony, you must have love. But we know that love can take the intensity of Mahakali. You know, that doesn't create harmony. But there is the link that Sri Aurobindo gives, and that's what I find very, very fascinating, and it's beauty. I think one of the things, especially in India, the mother said one of the big difficulties that we had was that we started neglecting beauty. So the moment we neglect beauty, disharmony comes in, because all crudeness, vulgarity, that gives birth to certain forms of speech, action, behavior. I mean, people can disagree, but nicely, amicably. But they don't, because of this aspect which comes, crudeness, vulgarity. So beauty and harmony go always together. If the sense of beauty, some kind of a basic aesthesis in everything, even in gestures, I have seen, if one observes human behavior, and I sometimes almost smile when I observe when people start fighting. So you'll see their gestures become such... it's almost comical to an outsider, but you know, they are very angry. Can't go and tell them. And whereas when you are in a state of inner harmony, even your gestures, your postures, everything is so wonderful. And it brings harmony automatically. So beauty and harmony go together. We can't, if the sense of beauty is missing, harmony will be very difficult. All crudeness, all vulgarity. And that's exactly what we see in this story in our Bhagavad Puran. Of course, it talks about Lakshmi, but it starts very interestingly that initially she is in an impersonal form. And she is found only in heaven. She is not found on earth or anywhere else. So in heaven there is harmony apparently. And she is not known as Lakshmi. She is known as Shri. So Shri is simply that prosperity will come. Everything beautiful will come your way if you are in that state. So she is there as Shri, and Shri brings Sampada and everything else. So once when, I think it is Durvasa Rishi, who is known to expose the weak spots of people, he comes there and he gives a garland to Indra. And it's very interesting in the story. It's a garland which will not fade. Now that's the beauty of, you know, harmony, beauty. These are things which keep any object, any relationship for long. So he gives him a garland and pride has overtaken him. And he puts that garland on the neck of Airavat elephant. Airavat is not there actually, but one of his elephant. And that elephant throws it on the ground and tramples over it. Now when he tramples over it, Durvasa Rishi is annoyed and he curses him that all of you will, Shri will leave you. It's a very interesting story that she will, Shri is here now, Lakshmi in the most impersonal form. She will leave you. Shri will leave you. And she goes away. Now as Shri goes away, he loses, there is a growing disharmony, he loses prosperity, ultimately loses the kingdom, and ultimately his walks away, he loses his territory, his domain, and he is wandering everywhere. And then he prays to the Lord to intervene. Now again in the story of intervention, I will not go into it, it's a wonderful story of Sagar Manthan. Lakshmiji emerges, but now she emerges in a very personal form. The story is well known, but it's a very interesting story. She goes away from the heaven, where the only place where there is harmony, supposed to be harmony. Now she goes into below the ocean, then she emerges out of the ocean, and then she looks at each of the persons present there. There are the strong asuras, there are the intelligent or the good devas, there are many, many denizens. But everywhere she sees there is something which is missing. That's the problem of harmony. It takes into account every small little thing. You can't just verbally be very nice. You know, there are people who are together say, I'm speaking nicely, but it's not that. You're harboring something inside and the goddess of harmony will see it. So she sees all around and she sees nobody is fit to receive me. So now she goes to Vaikunth. She says, I'll be only with Lord Vishnu because his heart is there where there is nothing which is of impure. Now this story doesn't end. It's a very interesting story. Another Rishi will come. So just to give how the Lakshmi ji shifts. So from heaven she has gone to Vaikunth. But she has to come on earth. What will be the occasion for her to come on earth? So there is again another Rishi comes, Rishi Bhrigu, and he is trying to test who is the greatest god. And he with his feet he hits Lord Vishnu on the chest to see how he'll react. But he suddenly wakes up and he says, I'm sorry, I didn't notice that you are present. It's my mistake. Now the moment he does it, he realizes that he is the right person. He is the greatest god. But the goddess of harmony goes away. Where does she go? She comes on earth. And then what he has to do, Lord Vishnu, he takes a form, one of his Ansh avatars, and comes on earth. So if we look at the story, I am resisting the temptation to go into each story. The other story on earth, how Lord Vishnu comes and he and Goddess Lakshmi come together. So basically this is the whole journey. From her impersonality, she goes as the consort of Vishnu and she comes back on earth where she is now busy with developing harmony. So this is her journey. And without her, actually, no further creation can take place. So, this is where Sri Aurobindo brings in very beautifully. I'll just read a little passage and then go on to Mahalakshmi, the goddess of supreme love and delight, and her gifts are the spirits Ananda and protection and every divine and human blessing. Her ways of protection is very amazing. Actually, what she does, if one really looks at the way she does, because I used to wonder, how does the power of harmony protect you? So I have had some real experiences and instances of this. Kali will intervene, she doesn't care, the obstacle is thrown. Maheshwari will use a very, you know, the mind, something you will say, something you will speak, and the person is diverted. But Mahalakshmi, by her very presence, she takes away as if the whole vibration of violence and disharmony from inside. And I have had these examples, really I have seen that when she protects, she'll protect you in such a way that the other person even, you know, will become almost toothless, venomless, will feel so happy, friendly to you, and he'll walk away. So this is a very important, most important aspect. Today's times, we know all that is happening. So Sri Aurobindo describes the miracle of eternal beauty, an unseizable secret of divine harmonies. So again, there is a divine harmony and there is a human harmony. Divine harmony is based on the law of truth. So there is always this truth will have these three aspects are together. One is Satyam and the other is Vrahatam. Truth by nature is vast. And then it is Ritam, because all the different things are arranged rightly. So Rit, which is spoken of by the Vedic Rishis, is basically a divine harmony. That means there is a divine arrangement of things. And if you disturb this arrangement, it's not about my wanting. So the Asuras always want that we should be in heaven. But it doesn't work like that. So we see that all kinds of desires, egoism, always disturb the harmony. Because the moment ego comes in, desire comes in, ambition comes in, then it's not what the divine wants in terms of where my place should be. I want where my place should be, and I begin to fight, struggle, and therefore the harmony is disturbed. So this is what is found typically in human creations. Today, because of the extremely individualized society, it's a passage, nothing wrong. It's a passage the divine is taking us through. So the way the harmony can today come about is not by asserting that this is, I want this place, I want to be here. It's by wanting where the divine wants to place me. And there are so many examples. Yes, today itself I was, how Sri Aurobindo taught by very, in very practical ways. So when we look at Nirodha, someone was sharing this about Nirodha's life. I said, see, when Nirodha came here, he was given that timber go down. I imagine he is a doctor who is trained in UK. So it was like, what is it that I am being given? I am being given timber go down. So somewhere it was there, and he writes to Sri Aurobindo and he says, no, you are doing very good in the timber go down. It is saving it from the devil. That's how he puts it. Then he comes to the dispensary. He does become the doctor. But where does he go finally? Finally, he goes and becomes the scribe of Sri Aurobindo for Savitri. So when we look at the whole thing, now we want fixed places, we want fixed things, and based on our ego, if we really look at Nirodha, I mean, he wanted to be a doctor, and ideally he should have been just put in the doctor. But as we evolve, our places change, and this is a big challenge in today's times, because we want things to be fixed in certain ways. But life is constantly evolving. That's why harmony has to evolve. If we look at just the stars, I mean, it's amazing. Every day, millions of stars are going out of existence, and millions, maybe brilliant, billions or trillions, I don't know, are coming into existence. Now, how is it that all these stars are managed so beautifully? And often, I mean, one little bit of gravitational pull here and there can cascade into a collapse. So whenever there is the image of Lord Vishnu and Lakshmiji on Sheer Sagar, I often feel that this is the image of Akash Ganga, the image of the stars on which he is sleeping on the couch of time. And, Ma Lakshmi is actually doing the work while he is sleeping because he is creating harmony. Otherwise, it will be impossible. So he says that the miracle of eternal beauty, what does she do? Her an irresistible universal charm and attraction that draws and holds things and forces and beings together and obliges them to meet and unite, that a hidden ananda may play from behind the veil and make of them its rhythms and its figures. So we see during mother's physical presence, three names, we all know these names, so we can talk about them. Three very big names, very big sadhaks, without a doubt. Very revered, each in his own right. Each an institution in his own right. And we all know whom we are speaking of. One is Pranabda, second is Navjatji, and the third is Satprem. All three are institutions in their own right. And they couldn't see each other eye to eye. But what happened? How did the mother manage it? When they would go to the mother, spontaneously there would be a core where they would come together and they would work for her. I had this very interesting real life example when I remembered this whole story, that there was a man here who used to be a drunkard, and I would often, I don't know whether he got into a brawl with me or I got into a brawl. Now when I look back, it seems I was the fool who was trying to sober him. Till one day when I was sitting in the ashram, I saw this man come in. And he was barred from entering the ashram by people at the gate. But he would have his way, pushing himself with Mahakali's vehemence. So he got there and I saw him there, and for a moment a thought came to me. He's also mother's child. He has faith in the mother. Why am I, he may drink, he may do whatever, that's his life. And from my heart that day, everything went away. Whatever was there. A lot of things were happening. He used to come and threaten me. So it was not just that I was, he used to literally threaten me with my life. And I used to then get into another mode that I am an Air Force person. Don't try all this. So when that day I came back, my heart was completely clear. Every kind of whatever feeling I had of, I can't use the word hate, ill will is very strong. Mother's grace, those things don't come. But the feeling that, look here, now that went away. Next day he comes to me. This is a real life example I have seen and gave me a very interesting secret. So he comes and he sits there in front of me and my heart is clear. So I say, I want to tell you something. He says, I want to tell you something. I said, okay, you say. He says, I have forgotten everything. I have come as a friend. I said, this is exactly what I want to tell you, because I want to meet you as a friend. Now the beauty was, I told him that, you see, yesterday when I saw you at the samadhi, suddenly I felt, you are the mother's child. I am also mother's child. Why there should be anything in my heart against another child of the mother? And he tells me what he said after that. And he was quite drunk. What he told me, the most sober thing, I would say. He says, who else is there to really love and care for? That was for me like I was bowled over. I said, look here. I mean, who else is there? I said, I saw you at the samadhi for the mother. He says, who else is there for whom one should live? And it completely changed my... See, there is a core in which harmony comes. And this is something which I have seen. There are two persons in whom I have seen. But one example I'll give you is Taradi. We know that Taradi, all the circumstances, so I'll not talk about it. That's one side of the story. The other side is Taradi in Delhi ashram. And I was sitting with her. And I very indirectly started the subject, which, was the cause of her hurt, apparently, and going away. I'll not discuss that. So she was talking only beautiful things about the person with whom she had a fight. A very bad fight. So I was deeply touched. So I started asking her more. And every time she was speaking everything which is beautiful and nice. Then I asked her a little bit about how do you handle these things. She said something very interesting, a lesson of life which is directly all my life I have carried. And now I understand why Delhi Ashram kept getting finances and everything. So she told me something very interesting. She said, see, everybody is here for mother's work. So I don't see the defects. I don't bother about what is their problem, what is not their problem. I see only that we are together in mother's work. So I said, surely this is a lesson you have learned from her. She said, exactly. Mother could keep together the most disparate elements. She didn't see their defects, but she would only see their possibilities and what is the common ground of meeting. So one of the sutras mother gave about a meeting that, you know, in a meeting, let's see what is the common ground on which we are together. So instead of harping on differences, so if we can in any everyday life, that if we can see what is the common ground, even if I've seen husband and wife don't getting along together at all, but the common ground is both are devotees. I mean, I can share now after some 30, 40 years, maybe I don't remember my own experience. One day, obviously, husband, wife, Bangalore, little bit of disharmony takes place. And so, my wife in a Mahakali mode, she says, I am going. She started packing the suitcase. So I said, where are you going? She said, I am going to Pondicherry. Where else? Because initially I thought she is going to her parents' place. I said, oh, that's wonderful. I'll come with you. Because she said, why you will come? I said, that's my place also. That's so beautiful. Let's go together. Instantly everything dissolved. This never happened before, never happened afterwards. Instantly. Because it brought in that common factor that we are both children of the mother. We both have a common aim. All the rest of difference doesn't matter. And it is a key that has helped me and helped her and helped all of us that there will be differences, there will be misunderstandings, all that. But if we have the key, so Mahalakshmi gives that first key of harmony. And the second she says is that allow, see, when we look at that plant harmony, it's very interesting. You can't categorize it into any format. It is something which I used to wonder. There are so many flowers, very beautifully shaped. But you see the harmony shrub, it's almost a shrub. You don't know. It's almost like one of those Japanese ikebana art done by some abstract artist. But it's beautiful. So then when you look at it, it's the second secret that it gives, that harmony is not uniformity. So all those who try to create harmony by uniformity, by everybody should do the same thing, everybody should think the same thing, everybody should feel the same way, that cannot be harmony. So the original plan is unity in diversity. You have to allow that freedom, but yet there is a common center. So as long we have a common center, that common center can be good of humanity. Let's, you know, start with the basic. Or it could be good of the earth, creation. Now there are people who are thinking along those lines. Then harmony automatically develops. But the moment we become self-centered, egoistic, and that's why it is said very beautifully, one of the beautiful things I find about Sri Aurobindo, everything is beautiful, but if I had to write a ashtakam on Sri Aurobindo, I would write instead of Madhuram, Madhuram, Sundaram, 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 Sundaram. Because everything is, his words are beautiful, he is beautiful, he is all beautiful, his voice is, I mean, whatever people have heard is all beautiful, his gestures are beautiful, everything is beautiful. So anyways, so one of the things that you find about Mahalakshmi, he describes in all these four aspects is how to worship these goddesses. And I think this is a lesson we all have to learn, especially in India. I have seen Mahalakshmi most, insulted is a very mild word. On the day of Lakshmi Puja, they play the game of dice, jua, gambling, and all kinds of loud noises and all. This is somewhere I feel down the line that in Sanatana Dharma is such a beautiful things present there. Something came in and has distorted the whole thing. Because this is not how Lakshmi can be worshipped. And it's called Lakshmi Puja. I mean, people pray to Lakshmi and then this kind of a whole thing. So no wonder prosperity leaves you, everything leaves you. So if we really want to worship Mahalakshmi, Sri Aurobindo gives us the clue. Beauty. But where beauty? Both inside and outside. It's not just having a nice, beautiful buildings. It's one of the letters of Sri Aurobindo he writes to Barin. He writes about the Western civilization. He says, I have seen it, but behind the beautiful outsides and the glamorous outsides, there is like a white ant something eating it inside. And this is something now we have begun to realize, that outside beauty is all right, it is important. I know people who talk about Mahalakshmi and who will just talk about outer beauty. But inside there is no beauty, there is no harmony. And truly speaking, it should spring from within outwards. And if it is not inside and there is outer beauty, it's a very dangerous facade. It will come crumbling down one day, which is what the story of Lanka is. It's very beautiful, old time Lanka, very prosperous. And the whole thing, it takes one night or maybe a 1 hour for Hanuman to completely destroy it. Because why it is destroyed in such a brutal way? It's not like it just is monkey nature the way he's described. No. Lanka was brought down because of the act that this one man did. It was prospering, but the entire prosperity. One of the sayings which is very well known, that wherever a woman is disrespected, prosperity goes away. That's why in Indian culture, if you go in ancient time, a woman was regarded as entry of Lakshmi in your house. But it's very unfortunate that we lost all this. When a daughter is born, there's all kinds of feelings. Now things are changing. Now people are changing. But a woman by her nature was regarded as Lakshmi. And when you don't respect Lakshmi, she goes away. So when she goes away, what happens? That's what he describes. She will not fight. She will just step behind. And when she steps behind, what will happen? Slowly, Sampada will go away. All the riches will go away. Various kinds of riches. Even intelligence is a riches. And all the generation progeny, it begins to go down. There is ego, fight, quarrel, all kinds of disturbance. And ultimately there is chaos and destruction. So such is the powerful role of Mahalakshmi. Inner beauty and harmony is the worship of beauty and harmony in thoughts. Beauty and harmony in feelings. It's very easy to create outer beauty. Beauty and harmony in every aspect of human life, in every gesture, action. So when I read this, I just feel that to what level Sri Aurobindo has taken. Because Lakshmi Puja has nothing to do with all this external puja, offering a flower. Okay, those who want to do it can do it. But there should be not a single thought or feeling which is harsh, which is crude, which is vulgar, which is ignoble. A generous heart, kindness. She loves animals. Nowadays, I'm so happy when animal love has started growing all over the world. And this is dear to Mahalakshmi. One place, Mother writes that Mahalakshmi is very kind to animals. She has a lot of love for everything, for the plant life, for animal life. So if we really do these things, and it should happen naturally. We can't deceive her. We can't make very nice outer monuments, but inside we are nurturing feelings of, see, humanity is going through this phase, which is literally like the Sagar Manthan, and there is the Kalkut poison can comes, the discords and everything comes to its peak. So very often people wonder why this is happening. This is a catharsis. Mahakali is clearing the ground. After this poison is gone, then Mahalakshmi can work. She cannot work otherwise. So this had to come out. It was there inside, but it didn't take a form because everybody lived in their own castles of superiority. And now this whole poison is coming out. It's the beginning of the return of the nectar and true harmony. And we can see the signs there in children and others. So this is where to worship her. Then the second thing about Mahalakshmi is rhythms. It's so important. She is beauty has something, harmony has something to do with rhythms. Everything in creation is rhythm. And very often, even illness. In fact, I have observed actually there are rhythms or periods when there is health. at the periods when there is illness, it's a whole science, and I have met people who are, you know, aware of it. In astrology, they speak about it. But one of the problems today is so many illnesses simply because we have lost that rhythm of nature with which we were attuned. So I have grown up in a, you know, place where there was very little electricity. It came much later. So by default, by 8:30, 9 o'clock, we used to sleep. By default, 4:30, we used to get up. Simply because now the sun is coming. So everybody used to get up because this was a way of life. And I feel this was such a beautiful way of life. Now we have nightlife, late night, everything. So the balance, the rhythm between the inner and the outer, the rhythm of even the three gunas, that rhythm which Ayurveda tells us of the various aspects, the tridosha, and the rhythm between us and creation and nature, physical nature, vital nature, everything is disturbed. So we see so many illnesses. And that's why the mother says that cure, what does she speak about cure, is to restore the harmony. Sometimes just staying quiet in the house cures us much faster. I am saying this with all responsibility than visit to a hospital. Because the moment you go to a hospital, you have all kinds of illnesses coming in the mind. The whole mind goes into a disarray. All kinds of instinct of preservation comes. You see danger everywhere. And then doctors add to the whole thing. And if you stay, and I have examples that there are people who for 10 years had a symptom and they were fine with it. They would sometimes go get some mixture or something. And one day someone told them, you better investigate. Well-known case. I'm just taking one case. So you go and get yourself investigated. And this lady got investigated from the ashram. And I was feeling very sad why, you know, she has gone. Sure enough, cancer and surgery and chemo, and within two years she left the body. The same symptom was there for 10 years. Another person I know. Now, of course, I have not studied that, what was it, the origin, and it's very difficult to do that kind of study. Because the moment you study, you are observing, you are introducing an observer bias, exactly what we see in physics, observer bias. So one of the big challenges, if you allow the body, if you allow the mind, and one of the best ways of harmony, even between people, this at least I have learned with a lot of problem with regard to people, because you start feeling by discussing and by, you know, intellectually debating, you can prove a point. You may prove a point, but you lose harmony. Maybe if you just remain quiet and silent, this I can say now, you'll probably, he may think that you have lost a point, but it doesn't matter. You will see that harmony builds up, because after a while, there is something which is like education going on in nature. Of course, there are issues which are relevant, important, which we all should stand up for. But when we start fighting for every small thing, say we see the state in homes where over food, likes, dislikes, everything, there is a fight. And wherever there is fight, everything gets drained. And there are very good names for people who will drain your prosperity and wealth. Their names are, for example, lawyers. Their names are doctors. These are all police. All these are diseases. Whereas if we just learn to remain quiet, this is the way of Mahalakshmi. What does she do? She just stays quiet, steps back. And after some time, when the poison is cleared, and this is a lesson which at least I have learned in life, that well, when people's tempers are high, don't get into argument. Wait. Because Mahalakshmi does that. Wait. Step behind. And after a while, when the whole thing is over, poison is thrown out. That's how. You see also Sagar Manthan. Kalakut, Halahal will come out. Shiva is there who will drink it. Then after a while, you sit together. And you see the whole thing changes completely, because that energy is thrown out. So these are some of the things which one learns from here. Also, one of the simplest ways to create harmony, beauty and harmony go together. And what I have felt is seen, and again, this is a lesson learned from all this reading and trying to apply it in everyday life, because reading alone is not enough. that if we, everybody has something beautiful about them, and if you just observe that beautiful thing, you are actually creating harmony, even giving health and happiness back to the person. So I have, for example, in our Desiree, one lady who is left hand doesn't move at all. Left leg, left hand, both. She cannot walk. She is on a wheelchair. From childhood, she had, cerebral palsy. But her intellect is quite intact, quite intelligent. She would sometimes wear a nice dress, a nice this thing. And every time when we meet her, I tell her, you are so beautiful. And as a being, and there is a big smile. And I mean it, because she doesn't fight. She doesn't have a ill word for anyone. She is so happy. I have never seen her unhappy. I have seen people having everything and unhappy. But here is a girl or a woman who is happy, isn't it? All the time. And if you look at it from one side, you will say, oh, she is so unfortunate. I feel unfortunate is someone who cannot be happy and in a state of harmony. And it takes nothing just to bring out the beauty of people. Everybody has something beautiful in them. So if we want to create harmony, it doesn't come with discussion and debates and differences. That's not the way of Mahalakshmi. Maheshwari may try that way. She also doesn't try. She goes into her high home, sits there impartially and looks at us. That's her way. Mahakali smashes. That's it. Proves a point. Mahasaraswati will go into small detail, but Mahalakshmi will just stay quiet, fill her heart with love. This also I have seen. There are people who are very, say, angry with you. I have actually seen this, and you take this, that let me take the Mahalakshmi approach. So what do? You return the anger with love. All this, I'm not speaking anything theoretical. So if you keep on persisting with the vibration of love inside you, human love, not Mahakali's love. Mahakali's love is very intense, powerful, but very human love. After some time, something happens very indirectly, and the other person begins to melt away. It's like a yoga for you, for the person, and totally as if that very thing which was creating such disturbance and disharmony changes into a vibration of harmony. So the mother says, cultivate the vibration of harmony inside you and carry it. And it's such a big help, though it should not be done as a strategy. But I have seen you meet people who otherwise would oppose you and would not do the work. When you go with the vibration of harmony inside you, and often I give this practical advice when people are going for an interview, I said, what's your state? So state is generally fear, what will happen, what will not. I said, go, you're going to a friend, mother is there everywhere, mother is in the person, mother is inside you. Go with this state. And I have so many stories, actually I can make a compilation of stories, of most impossible situation where just this common element, suddenly everything collapses, changes, and the person changes totally. I must share two real stories. One is in Bulgaria. And in Bulgaria, you know, there is a person who was caught because car, something happened. I don't know, the over-speeding. And he knew that now so much fine and I don't know what else. And he's calling the mother's presence. And suddenly the policeman comes there and he just remembering mother. How, you see, forces of harmony can work. And this man of all the things looks at the symbol ring. And he says, okay, you don't show your files. Come back and I'll see you. So he goes to his car and the officer simply says, okay, you don't have to explain anything. Just tell me, why are you wearing the ring? So he was surprised. He said, well, I'm a devotee of Sri Aurobindo. He said, okay, quietly sit in the car and go away. Now, this is not just a miracle taking place. There is a process behind the miracle. So there is not a random arbitrary thing. Another case where a lady who had actually done something which she shouldn't have done with the taxation, first and the last time she was sharing this story that she felt very bad because she was called to the income tax and she was just praying to mother, help me. So she goes there and the person is sitting with the files and all the camera. I'm talking about the ED office in India. And she is sitting there, and as she is sitting, all both husband and wife are very nervous. And suddenly he looks at the, she was calling the mother of course, looks at the ring on her finger. And she says, "Acha, okay, what is it you are wearing?" So she speaks about the ashram. And then he removes the file from his desk. And he says, so all the photographs of mother are there. And then he tells all his people, don't discuss anything with her. Just let her go. Everything is clear. Now, again, it's not about a miracle. It's about the power of harmony can completely disarm. Literally, as the mother says, Shobindu says, the tiger does not harm the yogi. See, there's so many examples. Alexandra David Neal, what was she doing? She didn't have a ring with symbol. She was sitting. And there is a tiger. See how harmony can work. There is a tiger who is there and mother narrates this story and she is in a state of meditation, feels uncomfortable, opens her eyes and sees the tiger. This tiger was a man-eater tiger. So she had different options. But the option she chooses is very strange. The option of love. So she says, okay, if this is how it is to be, if I am here to appease his hunger, it's okay. So she sits in meditation with this idea that, you see, it's an idea of great love. Was it? Okay, if this is how it is going to be. And she closes her eyes. And after some time, obviously the tiger went away. She opened the eyes. Mother described this. So there are so many examples in everyday life. How Mahalakshmi works, she will not say. She will not do anything. She will not fight. She will not struggle. But her presence is such. She is a charm, a beauty, magnetic. She fills the heart with a joy which we cannot imagine. And her presence creates harmony. So this is what we should strive for. I know we are closing in on the time, so I'll just read one more. How to worship her, harmony and beauty of the mind and soul. Harmony and beauty of the thoughts and feelings. Harmony and beauty in every outward act and movement. Harmony and beauty of the life and surroundings. This is the demand of Mahalakshmi. And one more small passage, which I will read and then I'll stop. If there are any questions, we can take up. Okay. She gives us a clue. Harmony for the spiritual life, the harmony with others, this is a problem everywhere and in ashram also, must be founded not on mental and vital affinities, which is what we mistake for harmony, of course. You know, I feel close, I gel with someone, well, but on the divine consciousness and the union with the divine. We are all here for mother's work. We are together for the mother. Or if, you know, we want to look at it in the widest way, we all human beings are here to help this world become a better place. When one feels the divine and feels others in the divine, then the real harmony comes. So when Nalinida asked Aurobindo, "You have written harmony cannot be brought about by external organization only. Inner harmony there must be. What is that inner harmony?" And one line reply of Sri Aurobindo is union in the mother. All are children of the mother. Let's unite together. You see, that's what is the, I think, first stoka of the Rig Veda, I may be wrong, or the last one, Sangachatvam Sangvadattam Sango Manasi Janata. It does stoka of harmony. Together, maybe utter the mantra. Together, maybe move. So this sense which comes of being joined in the goal. Our ways are different. Our different aspects are different. Our dressing is different. Our language is different. Our complexion is different. But our goal is the same. And this is where real harmony can come only from a psychic or a spiritual basis. And finally, he says, men always complain. First, one important thing is Mahalakshmi is not about outer wealth. Repeatedly, and Sri Aurobindo speaks of that very clearly, mother has spoken about it, that it's not about, there are poor people who are loved by Mahalakshmi, he says, when she is asked, Sri Aurobindo says here about Mahalakshmi, all that is poor repels her advent. Mother says, yes, poor. So she defines poor. Without generosity, without ardor, without amplitude, without inner richness, all that is dry, cold, coiled up, prevents the coming of Mahalakshmi. It is not a question of big money. You know, an extremely rich man may be terribly poor from Mahalakshmi's point of view. And a very poor man may be very rich if his heart is generous. So if you are poor from Mahalakshmi's point of view, you may have money. But down the line, this money is going to be taken away and going to go whatever way it has to go. There are asuras who hold a lot of wealth. It's known. Mother speaks of it, that much of the world's wealth is held by asura. So we should get rid of this idea that money begotten by any means in Mahalakshmi. No. It is only with that state of harmony, when you are in rhythm with the world forces, that's how it describes. And a true business magnet is in rhythm with the world forces. They somehow understand that what is going to work. Now this is because they are in rhythm with the world forces. And if you are not in rhythm with the world forces, then nothing will work and nothing will stay. A poor man is a man having no qualities, no force, no strength, no generosity. He is also a miserable, unhappy man. Moreover, one is unhappy only when one is not generous. But when one gives oneself generously, without reckoning, one is never unhappy. Never it is he who wants to take who is unhappy. He who gives himself is never so. And finally, she says, men always complain that love does not stay with them. But it is entirely their fault. So, if we are saying the other person is guilty, that means we don't know how to love. So she says, as she says, self-love is the big obstacle. She says, they give this love such a sordid life, mixed with a heap of horrors and such vulgarity, things so base, so selfish. In fact, we have started destroying home by saying, you're right, you're right. Actually, this is something very new. We never looked at life like that. My right and your right. So this, of course, this is a phase. So selfish, so dirty, that the poor thing cannot stay. If they don't succeed in killing it altogether, they make it utterly sick. By it, she means love. So the only thing it can do is to take flight. So this love is, of course, full of generosity. And generosity doesn't take offense or start calculating what you said to me, what you did to me. It doesn't take like that. It gives itself for the joy of giving. If they don't succeed in killing it altogether. So the only thing it can do is to take flight. People often complain that love is impermanent and passing. To tell the truth, they should be very grateful that it manifested in them in spite of the sordidness of the house they gave it. So let us all become worthy children of Mahalakshmi, and may her truth of beauty and harmony prevail and her love enchant every heart and bring together all of us.
Chema.
Wonderful topic, and deep and profound, and harmony is viewed not as a power of money, and money has to be part of Lakshmi, of course, but if there is the whole sutra, Sri Sukta, as you know, in the Rig Veda, about Lakshmi and Alakshmi. She has a sister, Alakshmi.
Yes, yes. She has a sister.
Money, but it works differently. Yes? Self, Kubera, all those other, you know, underground Panis, they are the holders, the traffickers, the traders, of the wealth, which is very selfish. So it's interesting that we combine Lakshmi with wealth, but truly speaking, she is wealth of a different kind. I am absolutely right.
Yes, inner wealth, absolutely.
So these are wonderful thoughts. There are a few questions here.
Yes,
but
please.
Before I come to them, I would ask anyone from the panel, either Radhe or H.P. Rama would like to say something.
I think in the real world also we see the beauty creates the wealth, a product, services. Any organization has to have a harmony to function effectively for any mission they have. So the beauty and harmony is ingrained. Many times we don't realize how it is creating the wealth of knowledge, wealth of resources that we can use for our material life, actually.
HP, I would just like to add something too. Thank you so much, Elmo, for a very important talk today. And, you know, I think about the center here and about the community growing over time. And, you know, your comments, obviously, harmony is not only important in a family or a friend situation, but equally, if not more so, in a center. Dedicated to Sri Aurobindo and the mother, and your couple comments that just, you know, if we can just keep them in our minds and our hearts as our community grows, that observing the beauty in each person, you know, there will be differences. Everybody will be different, will have their quirks, will have their difficulties, will have their opinions. But by looking at the beauty in each person, it can hold that harmony for the relationship and for the center. And I think the most important thing, as you said, is that we are all children of the mother. And that alone brings lasting harmony if we can hold that in our heart. So I thank you because those were just two very important things I needed to hear today. So thank you so very much.
There are a few questions here from the attendees. Today I have gone through a situation at home and mental unrest when for a long time, a few hours, I simply could not write for the help to the mother. The force was too strong. This is after I have written to the mother and sometimes within hours and sometimes within minutes, help has come. And situation has changed for the better. Problem resolved. Today was tough. I am so unhappy, and to why I could not write to her. What should I do in such a situation next time?
So sometimes it happens that it's a different stages of the schooling. If you look at it like this. So initially problems come, we pray or whatever way we open and it gets fine. So it's like really miraculous intervention. Then again it comes, then things go fine. Sometimes it doesn't go easily, it prolongs. I'm talking now generalizing the whole thing because this is the experience everybody passes through. Why is it so? Because now the divine is trying to tell us that look here, I mean, problems come and you sort it out. But there is something deep inside which is attracting the difficulties. So now it's time when things either become worse or they prolong. That means now is the time to look inside me and change that little thing inside, which is sometimes attracting a problem. So this is what even the world is going through this. And in individual sadhana, this is how it proceeds. So if it is, it will go away with mother's name, that's one part. But it should not stop with that. One should look inside and see what is it in oneself, which somewhere was drawing a certain kind of energy or forces and plug that gap. That's why mother spoke, for example, of adverse forces, that men complain that they are besieged by adverse forces. But we have to not blame them. We have to look inside what is creating the opening. Now, that's of course a big subject where each one has to look sincerely. What is in me? Maybe an attachment to something which, frankly speaking, for once one takes to this life and this goal, nothing else should matter except the divine, if you ask me very frankly. Everything should be seen in its own stride, that what can make me closer to the divine and what takes me away from the divine. This is the only thing we should be concerned about. So if we look carefully, we'll discover that there are elements inside us. All unhappiness in a general way comes from something insincere which is hidden. With reference to the goal, insincere is nothing about people, others. So that one must discover so that there is a permanent cure. Otherwise, we'll keep giving antibiotics and not boost the inner immunity. So I'm sure it'll be fine. See, that will be fine, this momentary thing, call mother, this is the perfect formula. But also it's important that when we call the mother, mother says that if we are in a state of inner agitation, it takes more time. So when we call, it should be full of trust, stay quiet, know that she will intervene. I've had so many examples of this. And if you just stay quiet, full of trust, you'll see that the whole thing will pass away much sooner. But if we get into thoughts of unhappiness and mind enters into a stage of discussions inside, internal debates, then it takes longer. So when we call the mother, just stay quiet, be full of trust that she will intervene. And if it's taking time, that means probably she is digging deep inside and taking out all the muck from the very entrails. Yeah.
There are two more here, three more.
Yes.
Thank you for insightful and uplifting presentation of the Mahalakshmi aspect. For we, the ordinary, is a sequence that we should follow to pray, invoke the four different aspects of the Mother to come and intervene. Is there some...
That's how the mind puts it. So mind likes to categorize things, systematize things. But the real prayer, the real call comes from the heart. And heart follows its own rhythm and law. So we should go with the bhava which is rising in the heart. And that's what is most important. If we go that, okay, first Maheshwari, no, nothing like that. And for us, it's very easy. Actually, the Divine Mother. These are the four aspects for our understanding. And all these aspects must be there integrated in our life. But most important is the bhava in the heart. That's why the mother speaks so much about the psychic change. So the sequence, if you ask, first sequence is to discover the psychic being. And the closer we go into the depths of the heart, we'll get the spontaneous urge. And we should follow it. The more we go deep within the heart, the more we'll feel the not only the presence, but the dynamic impulsion here. That is the sequence. And that sequence is not a mentalized sequence. It may be work one way in one person, may work very different way in another person. For instance, if Buddha had to ask, what do I do in my family life? Or Sri Ramakrishna asked, as Sri Aurobindo says, the heart would say, find the cure for suffering or turn toward the Divine Mother, entirely abandon all things. But if Arjun asked, as we know when he asked, the solution was very different. So one has to consult the depths of the heart. And that's how Mother proceeded. There are so many stories. One of them, she would often ask the person, what do you feel deep in the heart? And based on that, she would tell the person to go ahead with that. So this is where we have to bring out. We have forgotten to consult the heart. Because mind tries to organize everything, hyper-organize. So we have to learn to listen to the heart, be quiet, sit every day and feel the divine presence in the heart. Then the heart will begin to speak. We have made it actually deaf and mute, unfortunately. So from the heart, the impulsion will come, the true impulsion, and follow that, not based on any mental structure.
So following on this, there is another question which is kind of follow up on what you're talking. Should we look at our at outer situations too, when we consider the question, what brings me to divine?
Well, the outer situations are there and they cannot be or should not be neglected or ignored. But their value is simply lies in how much it is bringing me closer to the mother. I mean, closer to the divine. That's their value. So, take for example in Mirabai, the outer situation was that she was kicked out literally by her husband. And she looked at this outer situation and understood that the divine wants me to be entirely belong to, surrender to. He is my husband, he is my lover, he is my everything. This captured by Tulsidas in one of his, you know, when Mirabai asks him, he says that so chhaadiye koti bari sam jad bhi param sanehi. So this is one way. But to Arjun, again, as I said, there is a different solution. So outer things are important. One cannot shut the eyes that let it continue. But the solution for each one will depend on the stage, the readiness of the command, and one has to basically keep only one thing in mind, that what will bring me closer to the divine in terms of my goal. From the divine point of view, that's the only thing. And very often we will see that many desires, ambitions, various lures that prevents me from taking the right decision. So basically outer things are there important. For example, some people say that, you know, we need a lot of money. After all, we can't live without money. It's not true. Because if you really take the true decision based on deep inside, everything is looked after. I know people in ashram, there are so many persons who have come like that. And it was a leap of faith. That's why if we look at, you know, even that Indiana Jones movie, Steven Spielberg, that last leap is a leap of faith. So it is a leap of faith. Well, it may look like it may crash land. But if it's genuinely faith, if we have feel that this is going to bring me closer to the divine, one should do that. Even one would go to that extent that even if outwardly it leads to a failure, still inwardly it helps us grow in towards a goal. That's how mother would put it. Mixture should not be there, as Kabir puts very interestingly, Duvidha mein dono gaye maya mili na ram. So basically, if there is a conflict inside, there is a problem. So we should be very clear what is the goal. If the goal is the divine, then everything that brings us closer to the divine is good, regardless of any outer consideration. And if the goal is divine plus something, then it's a different thing. Then there will be confusion.
By the way, mother says the same. You can ask me anything, anything you need, anything you want.
Yes.
But you have to go to the mother for this.
Yes. That of course. Who else will one ask? Who else? Yes.
If you don't understand, there is one more question.
Yes.
If you don't understand anything but call the mother for making me her pan, which rides her will, but still there is disharmony in speech, even desire and disharmony in thoughts, but you're simply like crying and telling her, Ma, save me from this.
Yes.
And make me yours and then fall prey and behave unconsciously with old habits.
Yes, so this is quite common in a certain stage of sadhana, because there is a part which leads the yoga, whether emotions or mind or psychic being. I'm not going into what is that part which is speaking this. But there is a part which calls for yoga and asks the divine that I want to be fully yours. But then the other parts don't agree. So there is an internal conflict which takes place. Sometimes the conflict can be pretty prolonged and for a long time. Doesn't matter. One day, because right now it's like I am asking. One day the divine says, okay, fine. Yes, now you are mine. And then all these conflicts, either they'll be put in their place, they'll become insignificant, they'll be out of our nature. So it's a phase everybody goes through. And as the great mystic has said, that it's a very unhappy, uncomfortable phase. And everyone has to go through. There's not a single person, and I know even personally so many people, of course our own lives, when this phase doesn't come, where on one side there is, Sri Aurobindo quotes very interestingly about St. Augustine in one of his letters, So he had turned towards God, and we all know his story, how he was profligate and many other aspects. He would drink and he had a mistress so many other aspects. But something in him turned towards God. So he prays, and Shobindu quotes is one of his prayers. Lord, grant me chastity, but not yet. But what happened to Augustine? I mean, when you read his prayers, you see them psychic through and through. I mean, I recommend people, if you want to see what a psychic prayer can be, read his later, his prayers. So, but that's a phase he went through. When on some part wants to give itself, but there is another part which is constantly caught up. So sometimes in one life one remains caught up between the two, but this is not wasted. Even if things don't work out in one life, this struggle itself yields result, and it comes very easily in times to come. So one should always keep on pushing in a certain direction, even if outwardly one gets caught up and the results don't come. As such, outer nature takes a long time to yield and change. Of course, if one can bring in the power of integral sincerity, wonderful. But it's not always so easy. It's understandable. She will take care of it. That's what I'll say. Keep calling her, crying to her with sincere heart. She will take care of the rest. With time. Time is needed. Sahana Di, she used to, wonderful books she has written. And she would ask Sri Aurobindo, Lord, what I want to have today, lobsters, crabs, fishes. And Sri Aurobindo would say, eat your desires. So one day, once she was admitted, her love for Sri Aurobindo is amazing. Desires are also there, love for Sri Aurobindo is also there. Desire for a human friend, all this is there, part of the journey. And then she is admitted to a hospital where she has a lot of menorrhagia, a lot of bleeding going on. So she says, Guru, what is happening? Intervene. He says, these are the last remnants of your sexual desires which are being thrown out. Bear it. Go through it. This is the minimum. So he acts, but we have to persist. And that's what Sri Aurobindo says, you may have 1,000 defects and difficulties. But if there is a central sincerity, something within, deep within, really wants the divine, then he will take you through everything. Nothing can really stop. But one has to persist, not give up or not, that's important. There is nothing more powerful than the divine mother and her name. Even nothing, she knows the faith in the heart. If it is there, one will go through. There is no doubt about it. So many countless stories I know, which obviously would be a long time. Personal stories told by people. Satprem speaks about it. I have these three things in my nature. I want human love. He says very clearly, I want human love. But see how mother carried him through everything. So keep that central flame burning, all the rest, and growing. Yes.
And even Sri Aurobindo in the letters says that it is opposite. Those who are really good sadhaks, who are meant for this path, have the biggest obstacle.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Jai Ma, Jai Ma. Bye.